Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The passion and purpose of the Christian Research Institute is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints by focusing on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. To connect with CRI, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial to get your questions answered live on today's broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. The resources available all this month, which means today, at John Stone Street and Brett Kunkel, A Practical Guide to Culture, Helping the Next Generation Navigate Today's World, and America at the Crossroads, Explosive Trends Shaping America's Future and What You Can Do About It by George Barna. And quite frankly, I haven't said enough about this book. In this book, Barna points out that this is a desperate time for America. And I think that should be obvious to pretty much all of us. The morals of Americans are more representative of Sodom and Gomorrah than representative of the kingdom of God. People's religious beliefs have only a tangential and diminishing relationship to the teachings of the Bible. Trust and confidence in the institutions that were designated to foster appropriate living, we're talking everything from churches to government, are justifiably plummeting. The political system has turned chaotic, unproductive. People's lifestyles are characterized by behavior and goals that are the opposite of that which pleases and reflects the image of God. The majority of the country's churches have lost sight of their God-given directives. It is now, says Barna, beyond dispute that Americans' condition bears little resemblance to that of a nation that honors God and reflects His values, His principles, His vision, His purposes. If you took someone who knew nothing about Christ, nothing about a biblical worldview, plopped that person into American society and told that person that this nation is a reflection of the principles of God, what portrait would they paint of that God? Would their sense of our culture capture the heartbeat of the Creator? So ultimately, Barna says, if we're going to fix these problems, we have to address a people issue. In other words, your gift to God is how you will bless society, but neither your life nor His vision for your life is ultimately about you. It's about how you can express love to God and love to God's people. And so God is entreating us to trust in the Lord. We are operating as a part of God's team and thus have access to all the supernatural resources He will bring to our circumstances. I mean, think about that. We are not beggars. We are children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At the time of Francis of Assisi, people were devoted to loving and serving God. That was the context of his times, men everywhere had but one desire. And that desire was to devote themselves to some great and holy cause. But what about America? 245 million adults. What a difference, says George Barna, 12 million devoted Christian adults could make in the transformation of our nation. Barna says, my research suggests that millions of Americans say the prayer. Remember the prayer? And they assume that saying the prayer guarantees them eternal salvation. But Barna's research also confirms that a large share of those people do not develop a real relationship with Christ. In fact, they have not really broken rank with sin, and they're not really living for the purposes of God. They've said the prayer, now they're living as baptized secular humanists. And what I love about this book, and again, I think you need to get this book, America at the Crossroads, George Barna, is George does something very few Christian authors today will do. He talks about brokenness, going so far as to say that salvation doesn't exist without brokenness. And Barna is convinced, and I completely concur, that anything less than brokenness is a distortion of God's offer of wholeness and is a reflection of what is called cheap grace. Now think about that. That is an audacious statement for a Christian author to put in a book in this particular milieu. Barna says, the absence of brokenness is the missing link between faith and impact. And he gives a lot of examples, including David. God had to break him. Or Paul, broken through blindness and beatings and imprisonment and mistrust, public humiliation, and ultimately a martyr's death. Through brokenness, Moses was able to know God more intimately. He was able to walk more closely with God and serve Him more appropriately. You might well say that God broke every biblical hero through multiple life crises, harsh circumstances, all designated for His purposes. I've often said that God breaks us so that He can better use us. It's part of the pruning process. I can tell you, this is not theoretical for me, going through mantle cell lymphoma. It is very, very real. God breaks us. He reorients our priorities, but He does it not because it's about me, but it's about using my life for the sake of the kingdom. And most people never realize, says Barna, that brokenness is actually a gift from God. It's a demonstration of His awesome and unyielding love. We mistakenly assume that once we believe nice things about God and invest a few personal resources in the development of our faith, the appropriate response by our Father should be affirmation. It ought to be comfort, pleasure, rewards, happiness. But that's because we do not understand the nature of God. 99% of American adults have chosen to pursue possessions and conditions that relegate God to a secondary position in our minds, in our hearts, and in our lives. And those preferences amount to our continuing in an affair with sin and self and society. In essence, we are adulterers. As I was going with my wife, Kathy, to get a blood draw, to see where my hemoglobin and my white blood cells are and my platelets, I was listening to the Minor Prophets. Not minor in terms of what they're saying, but minor in the length of their books. You listen to the Minor Prophets, as even the Major Prophets, and you'll hear a resounding theme. That theme is spiritual adultery. Over and over again, God's people are said to have prostituted themselves. We have this upbeat, optimistic theology, a view that glosses over the roles of persecution and suffering. We believe God's primary interest is in providing the best for us at all times. Think Joel Osteen, your best life now. This is precisely the opposite of a message focused on breaking. It's also very intriguing that most Christians interpret crises as a sign of God's, well, punishment or lack of engagement or his inability to protect us rather than as what it is. Evidence of his involvement, his love, his care, and his concern. Even now, I think about what Solomon said. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. Scripture does not talk about your best life now. I mean, Spurgeon was right. The old covenant was a covenant of prosperity. The new covenant is a covenant of adversity, whereby we're being weaned from the present world, made meet for the world to come. Scriptures talk about discipline, the refiner's fire, clinging to God who shields us from a painful experience, is clinging to a God that is a figment of your own imagination. When we get beaten down by life, we question God's love and power. We assume he has abandoned us, that he's indifferent, but exactly the opposite is true. He disciplines those whom he loves. And I love what Barna says. His goal is not to break our spirits. It is to break our rebelliousness and independence. So today, we're in a culture in which fewer than 10% of born-again Christians possess a biblical worldview, and fewer than one out of every 20 Americans has adopted a biblical worldview. Imagine what American society would be like if we had the inverse. We had people that embraced a biblical worldview. Our nation could be restored. But he doesn't accomplish his purposes without us. He could. But he has chosen to work through agency, and we are those who are co-consummators of the kingdom. And therefore, renewal in this country depends entirely on you and on me doing what we were called to do, and that is fulfilling our designated purpose to produce what God desires. And I love the way the book ends. Having a plan of action without executing it is folly. God gently reminds us that wise words bring many benefits and hard work brings rewards. Wisdom without action is just clever ideas. So the prayer is that you discover the wisdom needed to facilitate the activity that renews your life, restores America, and blesses the Lord and His plan for the world. If not you, then who? If not now, then when? If not renewal, then what? Says Barna, I'll see you on the front lines. Again, America at the Crossroads. It's available for those who support the ministry. Last day, check it out on the web, equip.org. We'll be right back with answers to your questions. 888-ASK-HANK.
There's no doubt about it. The world is changing at a pace unprecedented in human history. In the midst of our busy lives, it can be difficult for Christians to find the time to outline what's really at stake and how to handle these uniquely modern issues. We get it. We're busy too. Yet understanding these issues is too important to overlook. And that's why this month, the Christian Research Institute is offering the strategic book, A Practical Guide to Culture, Helping the Next Generation Navigate Today's World. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Waves aren't subtle. When you get hit by one, you know it. But beneath the surface, there are powerful currents that are not as easily detectable. Sometimes we're completely unaware of them until it's too late. The authors of A Practical Guide to Culture understand the cultural waves and currents of today. Waves are obvious issues pounding away at the Christian worldview, such as gender fluidity, casual sex, and pornography. Subtle undercurrents are issues such as the information age, identity, and perpetual adolescence. Being aware of these issues and how to address them is vitally important. Receive your copy of A Practical Guide to Culture as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. In an environment that is increasingly hostile to Christianity, it is of critical importance that we equip ourselves and those we love with a foundational understanding of the uniquely modern issues of our time and how to address them from a sound Christian perspective. That's why this month the Christian Research Institute is offering the strategic resource, A Practical Guide to Culture, helping the next generation navigate today's world. To receive a copy of the book as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the two books available this month, which means today, because it is the 31st today, A Practical Guide to Culture, Helping the Next Generation Navigate Today's World, as well as America at the Crossroads, Explosive Trends Shaping America's Future and What You Can Do About It by George Barna. Two great resources that you need for your library, if not today, certainly tomorrow, next month, or in the days to come. We live in a time in which books like this, carefully selected by the Christian Research Institute, are axiomatic reading for Christians. Get your copies at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Also, you can order through our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A number to dial to get your questions answered on today's broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK. First up, Sammy, Four Corners, Arizona. Hi, Sammy.
Hello. Thank you for accepting my call.
You're welcome.
I always listen to you. Yeah, I live here on the reservation in Ron Four Corner area.
Uh-huh.
I just recently got saved in 2009.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, through Isaiah 6 and 12. So my question was, are there any more apostles or prophets?
Well, there certainly are no more apostles or prophets like Isaiah or the Apostle Paul. The reason we say that is in the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets. His word was on their lips. And there was a very clear distinction made in the Old Testament between false prophets and true prophets of God. The same thing is true in the New Testament. Paul is approved as an apostle to the Gentiles. He is one who had an encounter with the living, resurrected Christ. So in that sense, the foundation of the apostles and prophets cannot be duplicated in our time. Now, obviously, there are false prophets in our time, just as there have been false prophets throughout history. And the typical thing that a false prophet will do is tell you what your itching ears want to hear. You know, turn on to Jesus Christ and you'll find the prettiest girl in the world. Turn on to Jesus Christ and you'll have perfect health. Turn on to Jesus Christ and you'll have a Rolls Royce and the Taj Mahal. Turn on to Jesus Christ and business is going to be booming. All you have to do is make Jesus your own personal genie. These are false prophets. They're telling people what people want to hear. How different the prophet that you designated in Isaiah chapter 6, who gets a glimpse of God and comes apart at the seams. Here you have the holiest man in Israel, one glimpse of God, and he is undone. And of course, Paul had the same experience and talks about it. To sort of paraphrase, the closer you get to the brilliance of God's holiness and righteousness, the more you see your own unrighteousness. So these are prophets that tell it like it is, apostles who are called by God. But unfortunately, we have a lot of self-appointed apostles and prophets in our culture. Big distinction.
Okay. Yes, that sounds good. Yeah, because I was a medicine man myself, and I didn't know anything about God. And just one day I heard it through the blue sky. A voice came out, say, Isaiah 6 and 12. I didn't know what that meant, so I was searching for it.
Well, that's
so now, in this age now, just recently started flowing around, people calling themselves apostles. That's what I was asking.
Yeah, and I think, wow, what an incredible testimony. You know, sometimes we talk about the fact that, God uses human agency, and certainly that's the normative way in which God works. But as you have pointed out, God can act wholly apart from human agency. And it's interesting that you would be alerted to this passage in Isaiah chapter 6. I think perhaps given your background, it's critical for you now not to fall into the trap, which you've already sort of alluded to. In other words, in the sense of your understanding that it is a trap, fall into the trap of believing in these people who are masquerading throughout our country and the world as sort of super apostles and prophets. In other words, they're telling the story that they are so great in our time that were the apostle Paul or Isaiah here, they would stand in a long line waiting to get their autograph. These are people who have a inflated view of themselves and a diminished view of God, and quite frankly, have no concept of a biblical worldview. So I'm glad you are pointed to the scriptures and to a true prophet of God, the prophet Isaiah. And again, Isaiah, not just verse 12, but 1 through 12 in particular, pretty powerful in terms of giving you some sense of who God is and who his appointed prophets and apostles are.
Okay. Yeah, I understand it now perfectly. So I didn't know what it meant, and I didn't know what these guys were doing. But yeah, just myself, between God and I and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I believe in them. As a medicine man, I changed to God, turned to God, start praying to God, and start talking to God.
Well, it's wonderful that you are having a relationship with the Lord, and remember that relationship is not a momentary decision, but it is an ongoing relationship. Christ not only saves us by his death, but he brings us into the fullness of life, which means that we can have a relationship with him that is described as being in fellowship with the Trinity. So you have God in eternal love relationships, and now that God is bringing you into those eternal love relationships between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I think it's critical for all that turn from, whether it's a medicine man or Mormonism or Islam, that you take advantage of the gifts that God has given us. And those are gifts of grace by which we can be brought into fellowship. One of those gifts, of course, is prayer. Another gift is getting into the Word and getting the Word into you. A primary gift is to become part of the ground and pillar of truth. Which is, of course, the church. And through the church, graces are dispensed to you where you can live by a completely different medicine. It's called the medicine of immortality. That medicine of immortality is communion or the Eucharist, Eucharist meaning Thanksgiving meal. And when you partake of the Thanksgiving meal, you're partaking of not just biological energy, the energy of Gaia, the energy of the universe. You're partaking of something different, zoetic energy, which means you're partaking now of the energy of God. And it's uncreated energy. And a lot of people, when I say that, say, wow, that sounds spooky. Well, that's kind of how the disciples felt about it until they went up Mount Tabor. And then they saw uncreated energy. They saw Jesus transfigured. And then they themselves were enveloped in a cloud. And that cloud turned out to be transformational to them. Because all of a sudden they recognized that this universe is not all there is. Of course, they already got a glimpse of that in resurrection, but now think about what preceded. Transfiguration. And now all of a sudden you recognize, wow, there's more to this universe than just the physical universe. This universe ultimately is a universe that has both biological and zoetic energy. And that energy is afforded to us within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church where the sacraments are taken seriously. So my point to you as a former medicine man on a journey to union with God is that you make sure you don't take that journey alone, that you do it within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church.
Okay, yes, I have been doing that, and thank you for answering my call, and God bless you, Hank. Continue on with your work.
Well, thank you, Sammy. Appreciate your call, and I appreciate not only the question, but I think inculcated in the question was a very serious and important testimony. God here spoke to Sammy in a very unique way, and as a result, we see a transformed life. And God uses all kinds of means. God is not limited. We can't put God in a box, and Sammy's testimony is a great example of that. My sister called me this morning when I was having my blood drawn, and she was telling me about a lady who was sitting at the end of a pier in her neighborhood in Florida, Bradenton, and thinking about taking her life, but started reading a book in her backpack. I don't know how she got the book. I don't know the details. I wasn't paying enough attention, but the book was The Prayer of Jesus. And you know, the subtitle to The Prayer of Jesus is Secrets to Intimacy with God. And once we have intimacy with God, our life takes on a different hue and color. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live. Would you dial 888-ASK-HANK? Back from the break, and we'll have the quote of the day. It's a quote that has to do with suffering. The quote of the day and more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK. And do remember, all the resources I talk about, you can find on the web at equip.org. So if I'm alerting you to the prayer of Jesus or a practical guide to culture, those resources you can find on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back. Please don't touch that dial.
Waves aren't subtle, but beneath the surface, there are powerful currents that are not as easily detectable. Sometimes we're completely unaware of them until it's too late. The authors of A Practical Guide to Culture understand the cultural waves and currents of today. Waves are obvious issues pounding away at the Christian worldview, such as gender fluidity, casual sex, and pornography. Subtle undercurrents are issues such as the information age, identity, and perpetual adolescence. Being aware of these issues and how to address them is vitally important, which is why we want to put into your hands A Practical Guide to Culture. To receive your copy of the book as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Waves aren't subtle. When you get hit by one, you know it. But beneath the surface, there are powerful currents that are not as easily detectable. Sometimes we're completely unaware of them until it's too late. The authors of A Practical Guide to Culture understand the cultural waves and currents of today. Waves are obvious issues pounding away at the Christian worldview, such as gender fluidity, casual sex, and pornography. Subtle undercurrents are issues such as the information age, identity, and perpetual adolescence. Being aware of these issues and how to address them is vitally important. Receive your copy of A Practical Guide to Culture as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. C.S. Lewis said that the most dangerous ideas in a society are not the ones that are being argued, but the ones that are assumed. The authors of A Practical Guide to Culture, Helping the Next Generation Navigate Today's World, understand the issues facing society today and have clearly outlined them to show Christians what's at stake and why we need to be change agents to impact the culture for Christ. To receive your copy of the book, A Practical Guide to Culture, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much, Randy. The quote of the day from Amy Wilson Carmichael. She died a year after I was born. She was a missionary in India for over 50 years. She opened an orphanage, so her life really counted. And she had a tremendous perspective, a perspective that was born out through mission work, born out in the cauldron of an orphanage. And so this is what she said. We say then to anyone who is under trial, give him time to steep the soul in his eternal truth. Go into the open air. Look up into the depth of the sky or out upon the wildness of the sea, or on the strength of the hills. That is his also. Or if bound in the body, go forth in the spirit. Spirit is not bound. Give him time, and as surely as dawn follows night, there will break upon the heart a sense of certainty that cannot be shaken. How beautiful is that? I mean, it's so reminiscent of Scripture. God's eternal power, divine nature, clearly seen through what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Or David in the Psalms, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands, day after day they pour forth speech. And as you look at the heavens, that speech inevitably ought to lead us to special revelation. Whether you get it like Sammy got it, whether you get it through a missionary like Amy Wilson Carmichael, whether you get it by picking up a book or reading the Bible, whatever the means God uses, that special revelation will lead you past the cosmos and the hand of the Creator self-evident in it. It will lead you past your own conscience, which lets you know that there is an eternal, supreme, ineffable God. It will lead you inevitably to a God revealed. In Islam, God does not reveal himself. In Christianity, our God is a revealed God. He has come in incarnation. And his incarnation, the descent into humanity, is our ladder of divine ascent into fellowship in the Trinity, into union with God. This is a God that we need to bring to Muslims. Starting tomorrow, I'll be talking about Islam. Why? Because it's the world's fastest growing religion, and that in itself is a travesty. Because it is a false religion with a false prophet. I can tell you, the more I studied the life of Muhammad, the more you see the distinction between Christ and Islam. Christ, the paragon of virtue. Muhammad, quite the opposite. And I felt very constrained to write a book about Islam because of the milieu in which we live. This is not all that different than 500 years ago, when secularists, materialists, naturalists wanted to unseat Christianity. And Islam was thought to be one of the chief cogs in the wheel that rolled towards that process. And now we find ourselves in a similar circumstance. Back in 1683, September 11, we had Johann Sobieski, the Polish king, who left all that was dear to him and stopped the Muslim hordes at the gates of Vienna. That was September 11, 1683. September 11, 2001, should have been a wake-up call for America. But instead, we have a culture that is bent on saying Islam is a religion of peace and tolerance. And in fact, a religion that produces a better neighbor than a Christian neighbor. And thus, Islam becomes a tool to unseat Christianity and a Western biblical worldview, the Bible being the prism or the lens through which we see the world. Well, I wrote about Islam not only so you could understand Islam, but you could understand the distinctions between Islam and Christianity. Muslim, what you need to know about the world's fastest growing religion, available to my listeners a month before it is available to the general public. So through the Christian Research Institute, you can get this book, and quite frankly, you know, I'm grading myself here, but I think it's perhaps the best book I've ever written. And it will be, again, available starting in September for our listeners. And you can get your copy for your gift to the ministry, and I'll autograph it for you. And for your gift of $50 or more, you can receive two autographed copies. And we're going to start producing bonus material as well. This is one of those incredible moments in human history that we cannot be asleep. And I put my heart and soul into this book so that you could understand and wrap your arms around this big amorphous blob, as it were, called Islam. It's really hard to get your arms around it, particularly with all the conflicting narratives. So I produced this book, wrote this book in such a way that it is inherently memorable. Again, Muslim, what you need to know about the world's fastest growing religion, find it on the web at equip.org, and we'll be shipping them out in September. I want to take a call. This is from Dallas, and the caller is Stanley, who says, I was witnessing to someone regarding the deity of Jesus Christ, and he was arguing that Jesus was called the only begotten Son of God and the firstborn over all creation, meaning that Jesus was created. How should I respond? Well, this is a very timely question, Stanley, because it really relates to what I was just talking about with respect to Islam. Islam believes that Christ being begotten of God means that Jesus Christ himself is, well, he is a partner with God. And it implies sexual procreation. But the idea of begotten in the Bible is an idea of special relationship. That's precisely what the creeds tell us. You look at the Nicene Creed, believed by all Christians. The Nicene Creed tells us that we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, light of light, true God, of true God, begotten, not created, of one essence with the Father through whom all things were made. So the idea of begotten has to do with preeminence. Now, we see that by interpreting Scripture in light of Scripture. If only Muhammad would have done that. If you read about begotten in Scripture, you will find that Ephraim is referred to in the Old Testament as the Lord's firstborn, even though Manasseh was born first. Now, again, this has nothing whatsoever to do with sexual procreation. It has to do with special relationship. And when Jesus is called not only begotten, but firstborn, we see that what we are being taught is the preeminence of Christ. And thus Paul can refer to Jesus as the firstborn over all creation. Obviously not the firstborn in creation. As such, Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, the force of this language is such that Arians, such as Jehovah's Witnesses, have been forced to insert the word other. In other words, he is before all other things. No, he is before all things according to the Scripture. What Arians do is gratuitously tamper with the text. As the panoply of Scripture makes plain, Jesus is the eternal creator who spoke and the limitless galaxies leapt into existence. And John 1 is as clear as it gets. Jesus is overtly called God. And in Hebrews 1, he is said to be the one who laid the foundations of the earth. And in the very last chapter of the Bible, Christ refers to himself as the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Indeed, the whole of Scripture precludes the possibility that Christ could be anything other than the pre-existent sovereign of the universe. And Stanley, you get that from Scripture and from the words begotten and firstborn. So this is a great way to turn the table and to take the misconception and turn it into an opportunity for witness. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please remember, stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I can't do what I do without you. Let's stand together and make a difference in our generation while there is yet time. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. And that's why this month, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the strategic resource, A Practical Guide to Culture, Helping the New Generation Navigate Today's World. To receive a copy of this vital book as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Waves aren't subtle. When you get hit by one, you know it. But beneath the surface, there are powerful currents that are not as easily detectable. Sometimes we're completely unaware of them until it's too late. The authors of A Practical Guide to Culture understand the cultural waves and currents of today. Waves are obvious issues pounding away at the Christian worldview, such as gender fluidity, casual sex, and pornography. Subtle undercurrents are issues such as the information age, identity, and perpetual adolescence. Being aware of these issues and how to address them is vitally important. Receive your copy of A Practical Guide to Culture as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.